Trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds a key and opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
Good job, Brother Garner. I knew your wife could get that note. I wasn't for sure if you was going to make it or not, but did well, didn't he? That's great. I love when couples come and sing, and I love seeing that and just honoring the Lord. You know, if you have the ability to sing, you need to use it. You've heard it said many times, you either use it or lose it, right? And I use my voice enough, I'm losing it. But you know, God's given you talents and abilities. You ought to do something with them. Whatever your talents and abilities and gifts from God are, use them to the best of your ability. You say, well, I only have one or two. Well, use the one or two to the best of your ability. Do something to promote Jesus. Do something to promote Christ and the message of Christ, the preeminence of Christ. And folks, that's why we're here. That's why He left us here. Left us here to be a witness and to promote the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Well, will you join me tonight in Proverbs chapter 24? Now, I was debating on trying to finish this whole message tonight, and then I decided that you would enjoy two short messages instead of one really long one. All right? So I'm going to break this up and do just about half of it tonight and then half of it next Sunday night. And you'll understand why, because really most of the message tonight is going to be really laying the foundation, kind of the introductory to what I want to say next week. And I didn't want you to get tired on me and sleepy on me tonight. So I'm going to break this down into 2 1-hour messages instead of a 2-hour. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, just kidding. All right, some of you are not laughing. All right, Proverbs 24 and verse number 30. Would you stand with me? How many of you believe Solomon, pretty smart guy? All right. He learned a lot of things in his life. Now, I want to say this. Remember when Solomon prayed for wisdom? And he could have prayed for anything else, but he prayed for wisdom. And God says, because you have prayed for wisdom, then I'm going to give you all these other things. Now, I want you to follow me now. God didn't take Solomon, drill a hole in his head, and pour that wisdom in there. Are you with me? Okay? He wasn't born a smart guy. He became a smart guy. And God allowed circumstances and situations to come in his life, and he gathered wisdom over a lifetime. You know what he came to the conclusion of? Go read the book of Ecclesiastes. He came to the conclusion that all is vanity. That's what he came to the conclusion of. He said, doesn't matter what I do. He said, I came to the conclusion of my life, it's all about him and not me. And that's what he came... Listen, that's a smart guy, right? Now, I want to take something that he saw here in Proverbs 24. And I want to teach tonight and preach tonight on acquiring a teachable spirit. The character trait of developing a teachable spirit. You say, well, I thought all Christians had a teachable spirit. Well, we thought wrong, right? Because not everybody does. Listen now, it has to be developed. Just like Solomon became the wisest man through development, through acquiring it. And I want to show you how he did it. And then I want to make these applications tonight, and then we'll be done, and then I'll get into some other things next Sunday. Verse 30, are you with me? He said, I want you to circle the first phrase, I went by. Circle that phrase. He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Now, anytime that you see something like that he went by the field of the slothful, he went by the field of a man void of understanding, probably nothing positive going to happen after this point. Because he's already laid the foundation of what he's looking at, right? Now look what he says. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, here's what I want you to look at. Verse 32 is powerful. He said, then I want you to circle the two little words, I saw. He said, I saw and, circle this phrase, considered it well. Then I want you to circle this phrase, I looked upon it and, circle this, these two words, received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now I want you to go back to these verses here, and I want you to look from verse 30, 31, and 32 are going to be the focus of what I want to speak about tonight, and then I'll get a little more broad as we come in next Sunday. But I want to preach to you tonight about acquiring the character trait of a teachable spirit. How do you acquire a teachable spirit? Does God just drill a hole in your head and pour a teachable spirit in your head? Or does it have to be developed? Does it have to be acquired? Yes, it does. We'll learn how Solomon did it, then get a little more depth next week. Father, bless us now. In the short time that we have together tonight, help us, teach us, we pray, Holy Spirit. And you know it is the desire of this preacher to help the people of God, to help this flock of believers, Lord, that call Trinity Baptist Church their church home. And then, Father, I pray that when we leave this place tonight that we may have given some idea of a sequence, some idea of how to develop a teachable spirit so that we can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help us tonight, we pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now I think we can positively say that good Christian character is character that is teachable and eager to learn. That's how Solomon was able to acquire wisdom. God didn't, again, I'm not being repetitious for no reason. God didn't drill a hole in his head and pour a bottle of wisdom in his head. Solomon was able to develop wisdom. He was able to acquire wisdom. And listen now, he gave us the formula in the verses of how he got it. And so what I want to do tonight is help us to look at some things. But before we do that, I want to remind us of something that we learned about character way back in the very beginning. First of all, let me refresh your memory, that character is the free will choice to do right. Let me say that again. Character is the free will choice to do right. Well, what causes a person to do right? It's Christian character. Now, those of you that are in my Bible college class, we've defined what Christian character is, right? If I had you stand tonight, you could define it, couldn't you? Amen, preacher. Amen. Some of them are smiling. Like, don't call on me, please. But Christian character, listen now, Christian character are the elements or the qualities that define you as a real Christian. That's what Christian character is. No one is forcing anyone to do anything. They have to choose to do the right thing. And listen, your character deposits is what dictates your choices. What you're depositing in your character bank is what you're going to draw out of when it comes time to make decisions. When it comes time to make choices, you know what you're going to do? Your conscience, your brain, is going to dip into the bank of your character. And it's going to pull out of there. Now, for some of us, if we're not careful now, if we don't keep developing a teachable spirit, our mind is going to reach into that deposit. It's going to go overdrawn. There's nothing here. You've overdrawn. We're empty. We cannot allow ourselves to get to that place. So character is a free will choice to do right. Then we learned about principles. Principles are our guidelines to doing right. You say, where are the principles found? Boy, you got a whole Bible full of them. Principle after principle, precept upon precept, line upon line. Our Bible is loaded with principles or guidelines of what we're supposed to do right. Now, literally, principles are the recipe to accomplishing our goals. For instance, how many of you ladies like to cook? Help me out now. You like to cook. All right, got four of you. All right, bless you guys' heart. And but you like, we had more than that. How many like to cook? Raise your hand, let me see, so I know who to call. Look at that. Now all of them are raising their hands. How many of you guys like to cook? Help me out. All right, we got some. Good grief. Hang on just a minute. Keep your hands up. Now, I want you to think with me tonight. When you're preparing a meal or you're preparing something to fix, maybe you're preparing biscuits, glory to God, or maybe you're preparing, I hate to even say this, maybe you're preparing a casserole or a quiche, or maybe you're, whatever you're preparing, you have the ingredients all there, and you know what those ingredients are. Now, let me ask you this. Is only one of the ingredients make a biscuit? Does flour alone make a biscuit? No, it doesn't. Does oil alone make a biscuit? Does whatever the other stuff that you put in it make a biscuit? I don't know. I just eat them. Well, I used to anyway. But what I'm saying is principles are like the ingredients that once you put them all together, they become what your desire is. And once you learn and get the guidelines of what it is, what the Bible is trying to teach us about doing right, you can actually live a good and productive Christian life. Now, I've told you my biscuit making experience. I just figured, hey, if you got all but one ingredient, it ought to turn out right, right? Problem is, one of the main ingredients was milk. I added water. My biscuits were this thick and hard as a brick bat. But principles are our guidelines. And then, remember, we learned about ethics. Now, listen carefully. Ethics is our day-to-day operation. Remember this? Ethics is our day-to-day operation and practice, listen now, of the principles and our character. When it comes time to tell the truth, your mind dips into your character, right? and it pulls up out of your character. If you've developed proper Christian character and you've developed a teachable spirit, your mind dips into that resource and you tell the truth if you've got good character that you've developed, right? Or it dips in to where there is no character and there is nothing there to promote truth, and so you just lie. You see, what I'm saying to you is all of this comes about through a teachable spirit. All of these ingredients, principles, character, ethics, all of these ingredients make up the conforming process, remember, to the image of Christ. How is a biscuit going to, how are all these ingredients going to conform into a biscuit? They're going to have to be added. They're going to be kneaded together. They're going to have some heat applied to them, and they become a biscuit. Well, throughout Jesus' ministry, he constantly was teaching his disciples, wasn't he? Constantly teaching them, listen, he was teaching them the quality of how to have a teachable spirit. How to be, remember we talked about several weeks ago about how to develop to be a good listener? Remember, a lot of us, we hear, but a lot of us don't listen. And he was trying to teach them how to have a teachable spirit. He taught them several ways, but his attempt was to open their spirit to the truth. Let me give you some things here that how Jesus taught his disciples. Well, first of all, he taught them by parables. Remember what a parable is? It's a little short story, help me out now, with a biblical truth. Is that right? All right, so it's a little short story with a biblical or spiritual truth. And so he spent a lot of his ministry teaching his disciples by parables. Remember the time they asked him, said, Lord, why do you always teach by parables? Remember when they asked that? They said, why do you keep teaching us these little short stories with these truths? Why do you keep doing that? And he told them why. He said, well, because you guys haven't developed a teachable spirit yet. So I'm going to cultivate these short stories that has a biblical truth so that you can learn to develop a spirit so that, listen, when it comes to the real hard stuff, you'll accept it by faith. Remember the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13? Remember the sower went out to sow seed? And as he sowed seed, some fell on stony ground. Remember some fell on ground and thorns grew up and choked it out. Some it fell out on hard ground. Remember the birds came down and got it. But some fell on fertile ground. And Jesus ended the parable. They said, wait. What's what? He said, here's what the parable means. He said, the seed is what? The Word of God. He said, the seed is the Word of God. And he talked about the sowers and he talked about the fertile ground. And we know from the parable that the ground that he was talking about were the hearts of people, right? And he says, now listen, you know that hard ground where the seed goes and stays there and the sun comes out, birds come down and get it? He said, that's the devil. He said, he'll come down and snatch the seed right out of your heart. Listen now, and you know when he'll do it? He'll do it in church. He'll do it when the preacher's preaching. He'll try to intercept it. He'll try to come between the preacher and you to pick that pass off, to intercept it so that the Word of God didn't get to your heart. So he taught them about the parable of the sower. Remember the prodigal son? What lesson was he trying to teach there? He was trying to teach them that, you know what? Listen, there's so many stories about the prodigal son that he taught. But the main one that I want us to get tonight is, he said, listen, the Father is here to care for you and take care of you. Don't go out on your own. Don't leave the comforts of life that God is trying to provide for you. Why would you want to go out into the world? The world has absolutely nothing for a Christian. Nothing. He says, listen, the comforts are right here at home. That's the reason we call this a church home. Why? It's a place for us to come and fellowship, and enjoy the love of God among one another. He said, don't leave the church. He said, because you get out in the world, he said, you'll waste everything in riotous living. And we'll find you, like we found the prodigal, at a pig pen. About to eat husks with the pigs. And hopefully some will come to themselves and come back to home, come back to the church, come back and be restored, come back and rededicate their lives. A lot of lessons he taught there about the prodigal son. Remember in Luke chapter 10, remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Remember this? You say, wait a minute, wasn't he talking to Pharisees? Yeah, he was. But who do you think was hanging out just listening? Huh? And the thing about it is they said, who is our neighbor? He said, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And so he went down and there he fell among thieves. And when he fell among thieves, he said, you know what? A Levite came by, a priest came by. They didn't help him. He said, but this Samaritan guy, the lowliest of all people, came by and helped this guy out. He says, now, which of the three was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? They said, oh man, are you trying to insult our intelligence? It's the last guy. We know better than that. He's the last guy. It's the guy that helped him. What did he tell him to do then? Then you go and do exactly the same thing. He said, you go and treat people like they ought to be treated. You go and help people because they need help. He was teaching them. Listen, most of us, a lot of times, if we were sitting around the feet of Jesus when he taught about the sower, he taught about the prodigal son, taught about the Good Samaritan. You know what? If I picture the disciples many times when he was teaching, they'd probably be like some of us, like tonight, we're sitting there going, right? How about the parable of the talents? Remember him teaching them that? Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, how he gave one 5, one 2, and the other 1? And he said the master, the husband, the king went into a far country, and he came back and reckoned with those of his servants. He came to the one at 5, and the guy said, hey, listen, look here. You gave me 5, I had 5 more. He said, oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Guy with 2 comes and said, look here, you gave me 2, I have 4. He said, oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you've been ruler over a few things, I'll make you ruler, or you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Guy comes with 1. He says, where is yours? Hang on just a minute, I need to go dig it up. It's in a handkerchief, I buried it in the backyard. He said, well, do you do all your banking this way? Yeah, sure do, I keep it in coffee cans. He said, hang on, let me go get your talent. He said, yeah. He said, I knew that you were an austere man. I knew that, you know what, that you reap where you sow not. He said, I knew all of this. He said, that's the reason I went bare, because I didn't want to get in trouble. And listen, he didn't say, well, bless your heart. He said, thou wicked servant. And he took that guy's talent. Who did he give it to? Gave it to the guy that had 10, right? Now listen, what was he trying to teach them there? He's trying to teach them that everybody does not have the same abilities. But everybody is expected to use the abilities that they have. Is that right? So what he's trying to do, he's trying to open them up and teach them. And he taught them in parables. Remember the parable of the builders in Matthew 7? 2 guys built. One built on a rock, the other built on the sand. He said the rains came, the winds blew. The guy that built on the sand, what did his house do? It fell. And by the way, he said, and great was the fall of it. Remember the guy that built his house on the rock? Same winds, same rain. Same problem, same adversity came, except his house stood. What was he trying to teach them there? He was trying to teach them that, listen, don't be foolish in what you build and support as a foundation. You build on a rock. Listen, and you know who that rock was? Him. He said, listen, build your house on a solid foundation. Remember the parable of the persistent friend in Luke chapter 11? What was he teaching there? What was the essence there? Was he teaching prayer? Was he teaching about going back and not giving up and going back? And by the way, did the friend get what he wanted? Yes, he got that because of his importunity. Because he would not take no for an answer. Well, let me give you one more. Remember the parable of the rich man in Luke chapter 12? Remember that guy? What must I do to an inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, oh, I've already kept all them. I've already done all that. He says, all right, then sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now, Brother Hallmark, this is what happened. These disciples are sitting around like this. Is he going to do it or not? And you know what that rich man did? That rich man decided, you know what? I worked hard for this stuff. I've labored for this. And he walked away and did not do what the Lord told him to do to inherit eternal life. And he went away a lost man. As far as we know, he died a lost man. You see, Jesus taught his disciples by parables, short stories with a biblical or spiritual truth. Let me tell you how else he taught them. Number two, he taught them by live illustrations. He had live illustrations. For instance, remember the day in Mark chapter 12, verse 42, he took his disciples to the temple? You remember that? He said, guys, y'all have a seat right here. Just lean up against the wall. We're going to be here a while. And they leaned up against the wall and they watched as the Pharisees went in and dropped their offering in. Remember that? Oh, by the way, did you know there's some churches today that still practice that? They put the offering plates up here and you have to come put it in there. They don't bring it to you. You got to bring it here. You say, well, I wouldn't do it. Yeah, but wait a minute. That's the way they did it in the temple. And so people walking by, they were dropping their offering in. And he said, look here, did you see how much that guy gave? Man, was that a $100 bill? I don't know. It sure looked like one. I've never owned one. Sure looked like one, though. And he watched as these Pharisees went by and they dropped him in. And then they noticed, and Jesus said, wait, here's what I want you to look at. Look. He said, look here, coming through the door. And here it was, a little widow lady. She's coming through the door. He said, watch this, guys. She walked up there, opened her little coin purse, opened it up, and pulled two mites out. Now listen, folks, a mite is less than a penny. And she took all that she had in the purse and she dropped it in there. He said, guys, you see that? And they're like, huh, what? What are you talking about? She didn't give nothing. She didn't hardly give anything to the church. She didn't give nothing compared to all those other guys. What do you mean? What are we supposed to learn? He said, wait a minute now. He said, you know all of these other Pharisees? He said, they didn't give as much as she gave. Because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave all. And they're like, okay, we got it. Now let's move on. What else we got to do today? You see, he used a live illustration to teach them about giving. Remember in Luke chapter 20, verse 47? Remember he says, guys, now here. Oh, he was always using the Pharisees as an illustration. He said, guys, come here, I want you to watch this. And they begin to watch. And the Pharisees would stand up in public and they would pray these long prayers. Remember that? And they would pray. Now, wait a minute. Did Jesus say, oh, aren't they spiritual people? No. He said they prayed because of show. He said, watch them. Watch them. Because what they'd do is they'd look around, see if anybody's looking. Father, God. And they would pray these long prayers, but they were doing it for show. He was teaching them, listen, we don't pray for show. He says, when you pray, where are we to go? Into our closet and pray in secret. And he said, when you do that, your Father shall reward thee openly. You know what he's doing? Teaching. He was teaching by live illustration. What is he trying to do? He's trying to help them to be open to truth, to be open to teaching. Luke chapter 10, remember the two sisters, Mary and Martha? Remember Jesus showed up at their house? Oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus said, Mary, get up and go do something. The Lord's coming. She said, well, I'll do something in a minute. So Martha's in the kitchen and she's doing everything, going about their business. And about that time, well, if they had a door. It's the Lord. Mary, get the door quickly. She goes, opens the door. Jesus said, I'm here. They all come in. Jesus is sitting there and Martha's in there doing her thing. Mary, you know what Mary does? Mary gets out of the recliner and goes in and sits down at Jesus' feet. Just didn't do nothing. What a sorry Christian. She didn't do nothing. She just went over there and just plopped down on the floor. Did nothing. Listen, Mary, Jesus said, did that which was needful. But wait a minute, let's go to the kitchen, okay? Y'all want to go to the kitchen? Here we go. In the kitchen over here, we got sister number two. And she's milling about, and the next thing she does, she says, Lord, would you tell my sister to get up and come help me serve. He said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with all these things, but Mary hath chosen that which is needful. You know what he was teaching there? He was teaching that working, 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 working only comes after you sit at the feet of Jesus, not before. You see, what he was teaching is there's nothing wrong with service, but the most important thing is your walk with God. Listen, because if your walk with God goes, you're not going to want to serve. You're not going to stay hooked in and connected to the things of God. What he's trying to do, he's trying to teach them by live illustration. Remember Mark 14. Remember Jesus is sitting in the house of publicans. Remember he's sitting there or sitting in a house enjoying himself. And in Mark chapter 14, a woman comes in with an alabaster box of precious ointment. Remember that? And she breaks it and pours it on Jesus. And the disciples said, have you lost your mind? Do you realize how much that could have sold for? We could have sold that and given it to the poor. Now listen, I'm going to use common day vernacular, okay? Now Jesus told the disciples, leave her alone. I'm going to put it in common day vernacular. He said, shut your mouth. That's what he told them. He says, because, listen, the poor you have with you always. He said, but you only have me for a short time. She's anointed me for my burial. And the disciples are going, the Lord told us to be quiet. The Lord told us he hurt our feelings. Now, what was he trying to teach them about that alabaster box of oil? Listen, he's more important than we are. What his plan is and purpose is more important than my plan and my will. Remember Matthew chapter 18? Remember the disciples were walking along with Jesus? And they said, Lord, we got a little question here we'd like to ask you. Sure, guys, we've been talking about this among ourselves. What question do you want to ask? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to be big shot? It's going to be me? Going to be him? He said, no, sorry, guys. He said, I'll tell you who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. He says, when you humble yourself as a little child. He said, it's humility that excels in the kingdom of God. And so he taught them the lesson, a live illustration about what who would be the greatest in the kingdom and those that are servants and those that have a humble spirit. Well, let me give you one more and I'll move on. Remember Matthew chapter 14 as the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus comes walking on the water. He said, what is he teaching them here in this live illustration? Well, he was teaching a little bit something about faith. But listen, more than that, when they recognized it was Jesus and not a spirit, Peter said, Lord, if it be thee, bid me come to thee. And Jesus said one word, come. Peter said, did he say come? That's what he said, dude, get out. So he gets out. Now listen, you say, what is he teaching? All things are possible with God. When he stepped out on the sea, help me out now, did he walk on the water? Yes, he did. He certainly did. And can I say to you tonight, you can walk on a little water too by faith. You say, put some out here, let me try it. Not that kind of water. But you know something? God wants to do some great things in your life. But you're going to have to get out of the boat, folks. Listen, the point Jesus was making was this. Peter gets a hard time, but let me tell you something. He walked on the water, we haven't. But he's also teaching them, listen, as long as Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus, he walked on water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked around at his circumstances, what did he start doing? Sinking. Now, Jesus taught his disciples by parables. He taught them by live illustrations. And then let me give you number three. He taught them by example. He taught them by example. Remember Matthew chapter 14, verse number 19? Great crowds are gathered. At least the Bible says 5,000 men. And they're all hungry. By the way, his spiritual disciples, remember the guys that are still trying to develop a teachable spirit? What they want to do with these guys? Okay, miracles are over. Time to go home. Everybody go home. Jesus said, listen, they've had a hard day. You guys go get them something. Let's get them something to eat. Lord, we hate to tell you this. We ain't got nothing. And we only have a little change, and what is that among so many? Why is that going to buy all these things? He said, well, what are we going to do? Well, one of the disciples brings a little boy. Few loaves, few fishes. Says, it's all we got, but that's not a lot among all of these people. Jesus said, well, tell you what, guys, go ahead and have them sit down. And let me see if I can take care of this. So the disciples are having everybody, okay, hey, I'll sit down. God said, sit down. Everybody sit down, sit down. And so everybody gets seated. So Jesus looks up to heaven. He says, Lord, Father, you've always heard me. And he blessed those loaves and those fishes. He says, all right, guys, you'll go ahead and pass it out. Huh? I said, just go ahead and pass it out. And they passed it out. And they passed it out. And they passed it out. You say, how much was in that basket? Whatever they needed. And as people took it out, there was enough. And as they took it out, there was enough. Now, wait a minute now. There were so much fragments left over. They collected up 12 basket loads, and a lot of people think that they sent a little boy home with them. I don't know if they did or not. But listen, knowing Jesus, that's probably what they did, right? Or at least sent home a few of them. I'm sure there were probably some disciples saying, can we take some home? But you know what? He taught them that God can do anything, even with the smallest things. Now, Matthew chapter 9. Remember as Jesus was eating with publicans? Remember he was taking a lot of flack for eating with publicans? What are you doing eating with them people? I can't believe. If you're God, if he was God, he wouldn't be eating with those scumbags. He wouldn't be eating in the same house with them. Lord, why are we eating with publicans? Listen, remember what his answer was? He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He said, I'm eating with them because they need the Lord. And he said, those that are whole, those that are have already experienced Christ, they don't need a physician. Remember in John chapter 3? A man by the name of Nicodemus. He said, what was he teaching them there? He was teaching them to be a soul winner. He was teaching them that, listen, God can save anybody at any time, at any place, at any hour. Because Nicodemus came to him how? At night. Why did he come to him at night? Did he come to him tonight because he just got off his day job? What did he come to him at night for? He came to him at night because he was a Pharisee, right? He came to him at night because he didn't want anybody else to see that he was speaking to Jesus. Might get a bad name among the other guys. So he comes to Jesus by night. And remember, Jesus told him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, being a real smart man, remember what his answer was? How can I go into my mother's womb a second time and be born? This smart guy, right? Now listen, come on, help me out. That was the dumbest answer I've ever heard in my life, isn't you? Why would he have answered that? You say, preacher, that answer doesn't even make any sense. But yet the Lord didn't say, come on, Nicodemus, come on, you're supposed to be a smart guy. What do you mean going to your mother? I'm not talking about that. No, you know what he did? He went right in and talked about that which is born of water is water. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He totally separated the two births. That's where he said, you must be born again. Well, how about, let me give you one more. Matthew 21. Remember when Jesus went into the temple? Oh, I'll give you one more after this. But remember when Jesus went into the temple and he looked around and there were guys selling all kinds of sacrifices in there. And they were selling all of these things, making money off the house of God, making money off the people of God, making money off of things that they shouldn't be making money off of. And he went in there and he says, wait a minute, this is not right. This is supposed to be, my house should be a house of prayer. So he went there and says, guys, y'all gather your stuff up. Everybody gather your stuff up and get out right now. Come on, hey, come on. Did you not hear what I said? Get your stuff. Come on, guys, come on. Go, 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 go. Everybody out, everybody out. Now, you know what he did? He thought, you know what? I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of people desecrating the house of God. I'm tired of people living casual Christianity. I'm tired of people taking advantage of the church. So he made him a scourge. And he went into there. Now listen, I don't know if he went whack. Remember, guys, when old daddy would take his belt and he'd take that belt as he's coming down the hall? You're like, oh, this is going to be a real bad one. This is going to be really bad. But he made a scourge. And he went down there, listen now, and he turned their tables. What an intolerant person. What a mean-spirited person. He actually went in here, these people that were desecrating the house of God. They were bringing all kinds of trash in to the house of God, claiming it to be part of worship, and they brought it in, and Jesus didn't say, well, come on, guys. Come on, I know y'all have a little bit different philosophy of ministry here, but y'all need to go ahead and slip out later. No, he went in and turned their tables over and took the scourge and drove them out. You say, did he smack any of them? I don't know. He drove them out. Listen, I tell you, it didn't take but one or two tables turned over and a couple of pops of that scourge. They got the point. And he drove them out. He said, what is he trying to teach there? Folks, listen, he's trying to teach there are some things worth standing up for. And some things you better stand up for, because if not, you'll get run over. And one of the things, listen, that he's given us as believers the care of is the local church. We must protect the church. Now, let me give you another one right quick here. One of the things that he taught was those last moments. Remember on the cross? Seven sayings from the cross. But the one I want to point your attention to, you say, well, preacher, all the disciples weren't there. Well, we know a few of them were, and you don't know the rest of them weren't. Right? Because the Bible didn't tell me they weren't there. Didn't say they were out hop, skipping, and jumping somewhere. Didn't say they were out on a cruise somewhere. We do know that some were there. We know John was there. We know that some of the disciples were there. But listen to me. On the cross, Jesus, looking up to heaven, here's what he said. Everybody's listening. And he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a powerful, powerful teaching. A powerful teaching time. And you know what he was teaching them? Listen, he was teaching them to forgive their enemies. And let me tell you something, folks, that's tough stuff right there. That's tough stuff right there. You see, Jesus was attempting to develop within his followers a teachable spirit. He taught by parable. He taught by live illustrations. He taught by example. Now, in our text verses, look at it and I'm done. In our text verses, let me give you the little sequence here, and we'll look at this more next week, but I want you to write them down and study them in between this week, this Sunday and next Sunday. In our text verses, Solomon told of a time that he took a little walk and passed by a field that had obviously been neglected. Is that what you got out of the story? If you went by and you saw a vineyard and it was all covered up with nettles and thorns and walls broken in, when you think, man, this guy didn't take care of business here. Something's wrong. You see, just the description of the field, you could tell that somebody had an opportunity. Somebody had a shot at being successful and blew it, right? And so Solomon, smart guy, okay, remember, God didn't drill a hole in his head and pour wisdom in there, right? How did he get it? He got it by instances like this. So he's out taking a walk, and he walked by this field, and he stopped. He just examined it. Now, here's what he did. The first thing, I want you to look at the sequence. I want to say this. Solomon didn't say, well, boy, that guy's got bad luck, doesn't he? Oh, that's too bad. No, you know what he said? What can I learn from this situation? What can I learn from this to prevent it ever happening to me in my life? And what I'd like to call your attention to is the sequence. Here's what he did. First of all, remember the phrase I had you to circle? The first phrase, what did I have you circle in verse 30? First phrase, he said, I went by. Now, that represents life. You know, you're going to always go by things in life. You're going to pass by different people. Different circumstances and situations are going to come into your life. You know what God allows these things to come into your life for? Not for you to curse it, not for you to get angry, but for you to learn. He's trying to teach us. He's trying to develop a teachable spirit. So Solomon said, I went by. So what I'm saying is, in life, folks, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on around you. God's trying to teach. God's trying to develop us. So the sequence here is life. Solomon said, I went by. Now let me say this, and I'll move on. Did you notice that Solomon didn't have to go get up inside the field and wallow around the thorns to know that there was a problem? You see, the thing about it is, you know, I don't have to go into a bar to realize there's probably things in there that I don't need to be around. Do you know I don't have to go in to all of these nightclubs and strip joints and things like that to know that's probably not where a Christian needs to be? I don't have to go inside it to figure out what's going on, right? Solomon said, I went by. Did you notice he didn't say, I went in? He said, I went by. He never engaged himself in the field. He just was walking by. And that represents life. Notice the next thing he did. He says, I went by, verse 32, and I saw. That's the reason that we need to keep our eyes open. Something caught his eye. You ever met people and you talk to them a little bit and you just knew something's not right about them? You know what I'm talking about? Something catches your eye, their spirit, their attitude, their body language. Something caught your eye, and immediately you thought, something's not right about them. Something's not right about this person. He said, look, I went by and I saw. Folks, we've got to keep our eyes open. That's how we're going to learn. That's how we develop a teachable spirit. Then he said, look at this. He said, I saw and considered. He said, I considered. I considered it well. You say, what is he doing there, preacher? Well, first of all, after he saw, he thought for just a moment. And he began to analyze the situation. You know what he saw? He saw, man, this guy had an opportunity, and he blew it. What caused this situation to become in this condition? And then I want you to notice something interesting. Look at the next thing it says. He said, I considered it well. I looked upon it. Wait a minute. I thought he was already doing that when he was considering it. You say, what is he doing? Listen now. He looked, and then he took a second look. You see, the first look, he analyzed and saw what the conditions were. But the second look, listen now, the second look, he was trying to find out what caused the problem and what the solution was. He said, I considered it. That was when I looked and saw there was a problem. Then he said, I looked a second time. And he says, now I see there's a problem. What caused the problem and how do we resolve the problem? Well, then the last thing Solomon says, and received instruction. So here's the sequence. He went by, he saw, he considered, he looked, and then after he added all these ingredients in the process, guess what he got? He got a biscuit. He received instructions, right? He got what he was after. Now listen, that's how Solomon became the wisest man in the world. Why? Because he paid attention, folks. He paid attention. Remember the time? Remember the first test Brother Garner he had? Remember the women that had the two babies and one rolled over on the other one and suffocated? Remember that? And then in the night, remember she switched the babies? So they come to Solomon, and this isn't the first time that he's seen people do certain things. He said, tell you what, I got an idea. He said, since you say it's your baby and she says it's her baby, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to cut the baby in half, and we're going to give you half of the baby and give you half of the baby. All right, swordsman, let's go. Come on. So they held the baby up, and the swordsman said, okay. He said, right down the middle. The swordsman said, okay. About that time, one of the women said, no. Don't cut that baby out. Let her have it. Solomon said, that's all I need to know. Give the baby to her. You liar. Listen, because he knew a mother's heart. would never let that baby die. She'd let that baby be given to someone else and raised by someone else before she'd see that baby cut in half. Amen. Say, where'd he get that knowledge? Experience. Didn't pour it in his head. He learned it. Why? Because he had a teachable spirit. So I want you to think about these things before we come together next week. And to think about how Jesus taught by parable, by live illustrations, by example. Go back and study these. We didn't turn and read any of these. But again, notice how Solomon said he came about the wisdom process. I went by. Now listen, folks, if you become a hermit, a Christian hermit, you're not going to learn this. Okay? You can't isolate yourself from people. He said, I went by, I saw, I considered, I looked. And then he said, when I added all this and I considered all this, I received instruction. Because obviously, Brother Hallmark, there were some details on that field that gave him some idea of how it got that way. And next week, when we come back here, we're going to look at Solomon. When you read the book of Proverbs, he basically introduces you and categorizes all of the Proverbs into three categories, which are represented by three different people. And now, listen. If you'll go next week and read the Proverbs, I promise you can pick two of them out. Okay? One of them might not be as easy to pick out, but if you read closely, you can pick all three people out. And those are the three people we're going to look at next week and find out what category that we're in Solomon's teaching about acquiring a teachable spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say tonight?